Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The National Rifle Association is taking aim at school safety. The gun rights group outlining a program that it says will prevent another tragedy like Newtown, Connecticut.
In a comprehensive 225-page study,
the report recommends schools make improvements on simple things such as locking doors and having an armed school resource officer in each building. Former Congressman Nate Hutchinson, named by the National Rifle Association, gave the report.
So it's a comprehensive plan.
Well, I picked up the paper this morning. And it can't be shown not to lose.
The report also recommends gun owners.
Daniel Street to be running rampant.
In protecting children.
What am I supposed to do?
It'll help. Opponents say it's the only thing that will prevent another school shooting. Come for gun law. President Obama once Congress spent $100 million. Ukraine introduced as the country's finest chief. President Obama called for an ambitious project to map the law of the human brain, starting with inventing the equipment to do it.
Get a dynamic brain. Brain in action. And better understand how we think and how we learn, how we act.
He envisions breaking the
Easy, and in Texas, you can join the 10 million people who love Free Jack. Free Jack is a local buildings, including Jack members, your favorite restaurants, jobs, salons, all parts of the Jack to bring you great experiences at great prices. Sign up today and get an extra 10% off.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
Live in a financial world. I wish I could do that as possible to advertise your business. Your agenda is anti-American, anti-free market, anti-private stock. Because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I, personally, will do whatever I can to sabotage such
things. From 6 to 9 p.m. on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you. Global topics and news of the day. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're here on Tuesday afternoon here on April 2nd at 12 o'clock noon. Here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. This is Jeff in the air chair. You know, I'll hang out before Tracy gets in here a little bit later today. We're here to talk to you about what's on your mind, so you get me a call here at 330-781-9600 or unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229. Lots of things happening out here today, and we're going to be having a guest coming in about 1:30 today, so I want you to stay tuned for all of that. We're going to do a couple things that you know are in the news and things that you need to know about. Speaking of things you need to know about, has anybody been watching what's going on with this thing on gay marriage? Number one. With gun control, number two. Now, the proposals that the president has put forth don't seem like they're going to make it through the House or the Senate, which in my mind is an excellent thing. I just heard Geraldo, which I don't care for him whatsoever. I don't like Geraldo Rivera. Now, if you like him, call me and tell me you like him. If you don't like him, call me and tell me you don't like him. Okay, you got the numbers, 330-781-9600, 1-347-945-5229. I think he's an idiot. They're all excited about a gun buyback program that they think the government is going to do. Let's get that going. Let's get these guns out of the hands of these gangbangers. Look, you idiot, you think that a gangbanger is going to turn his gun in, no questions asked. What he's going to do is he's going to find an old junk gun somewhere and bring it to you and take your money and go back while he still has his 9 or 40 cal with the laser sight on it, and he's going to continue doing what he needs to do because that's his survival. You're a nut if you think that buying guns is going to actually rid the street of the guns that are doing the damage out here. You can't pay enough for those guns because when somebody's making millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars through the drug trade or even through larceny, they're not giving up their gun. They're not that stupid. You're that stupid if you believe that. Now, I'm little teased with this because, you know, oh, let's get these guns out the hands of these kids. You're not going to get the guns out the hands of the kids. Not like that. They're going to find a way to get black market guns. All you're going to do is disarm the good people of America. That's my rant on that, because that really, really chaps my hide. It bothers me like you wouldn't believe. Why? Because it's asinine. I grew up in the streets here in Youngstown, Ohio. For those that are listening to me from far away, maybe, I grew up in those streets. I've seen a lot of different things, been involved in a lot of different things when I was young, that I'm embarrassed to tell you that I am now. But I'll say this to you. I didn't lose the ability to understand the street that I was in because I changed my life, or God changed my life. I understood it. No, I wasn't a hardcore gangster and this, that, and other. No, I'm not telling you that. But I was out there. So what I'm telling you is that you have to understand something. You are not going to get the people to turn in their guns. Please don't be so stupid as to think that a gun buyback is going to be fruitful. Now, once again, you will get back guns, because they laugh at you when you do with these buybacks. You'll get back somebody's stolen gun that they don't want to use. Guns they took from other guys that they robbed and took over their territory or killed them and did whatever, they might give those back and get some of the cash for it, or give it to some kid to bring in so he can make some money. But you're not stopping anything by a gun buyback. So you're wasting your money out. You're throwing your money down a drain, down a rat hole, whatever you want to call it. And I can't believe that the people of America buy this mess. I can't believe that you really believe because the president or some governor or somebody else says that they're going to buy back some guns, that the criminals are, you know what, I've been wanting to get out anyway. I'm sick of making all this money. I don't need to protect myself from the other guys that were trying to kill me anyway. So, I'm going to go turn my gun in. No! Oh, I'm sorry to holler at you. I'm hollering at you early on a Tuesday. This is Jeff in the Air Chair here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're here talking to you about what's on your mind and what's on my mind, too. So, give me a call if you don't want to hear me rant and rave about guns right now, because I am sick of it. Okay, now let's go overseas. We're going overseas here for a second, and I know there's some people that wanted to holler about something education here locally and what was going on downtown in our area here in beautiful Northeast Ohio with our board of education members. They're having a little bit of a disagreement with the superintendent. So education-wise, this is something that I will tell you. Until you get control of education on the local level, You are not going to educate your children well. in our area, if you want to just put our area and look at your area where you live in, whoever's listening to me, the inner cities don't really have a lot of parental supervision going on. So now, since they don't have it, the boards of education there are running everything, and many times all they are is a shield for the unions that hire the teachers unions, teachers aides unions, school workers, I should say, of which I belonged to, so I'm not telling you anything that I don't know about. But many times all they do is roll over and do whatever they ask and say, because they're looking for their next step up the ladder. I'm not saying that's the case with these guys here locally. But education is the key. Why do the suburbs educate your children way, way better than the inner cities educate your children? Tell me, please. Tell me. I'd like to know. 330 and 267, if you want to talk, just hit that one and I'll bring you up on the board. What are you going to do if you don't have control of that? So now, your inner city schools turn into glorified daycare centers. Your children are going to jail at alarming rates. Your children and your parents are getting less jobs and opportunity at jobs than anybody else in society. Yet they get you all excited every election day and say, they're going to put you all back in jeans. And you herd each other out to the polls to go vote for somebody that's not even going to make a decision that will help you. Don't say the Health Care Act, please, because I will go on another rant. I will go on a rant because it's costing three times as much as they said it was going to cost. And it's not affordable. And they're changing the plans. I am not going to have the same plan that I had when this thing was announced. That they said, if you want to have your plan, you can have it. Well, no, you can't. It's not going to work that way. Local caller, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I would have called yesterday because Tracy brought up about the headline Sunday's paper.
Uh-huh.
Board members that rated the superintendent, and the three that said they thought he should have been rated higher.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back to last year, the state had 11 things that they said the school had to do in order to get that SIG money.
Mm-hmm.
Schools only came up with two of those things, so they lost like $1.5 million because they didn't bring it up to where the state wanted it to be.
Wow.
Okay, you heard our superintendent. When he came, he said, I only listen to data. Data is what I go by. Okay, and they were supposed to evaluate him in February, but they waited until March until the test scores came out. Now, with the test scores, there were 26 indicators that they had to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And the city only met one of them.
Wow.
One out of 26. So when the superintendent says, hold me responsible, I am accountable, then you can't blame this on the past administration because the superintendent was here for the whole school year. This was the plan he put in place.
Wow.
So if he only made one out of 26 and they gave him a rating of 5 out of 9, I agree with them, because don't rate me on what I say I'm going to do in 2013, 2014. That's hope.
Sure.
You don't, that's not data.
Well,
you
I.
Where I'm coming from?
Well, I'm going to say, so obviously they gave him the rating that,
that he
should have had.
And the ones that were saying they thought he should have a higher rating because he said that he's going to lift the scores up with this plan, like you said, the plans keep changing. So the plan that he had for last year, he said, we're going to go forward. And we didn't. We went backwards. Last year, they made 2 out of 26. This year, they only made 1 out of 26.
Well,
so I think that they were generous in giving him a rating of 5 if you look at the data.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going by is data.
Well, absolutely. And if you've had 11 objectives that the board thought you should have, I mean, the state board thought you should have.
You should have made this year be in the scoring, and last year it was to get that SIG money that it was 11 that they had to come up to.
Oh.
They only came up 2 out of the 11, and they lost over half of the money.
So the objective wasn't necessarily the kids in this case. Even it was to make sure, try to make sure they got that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and I understand that you need to do that.
So I agree with Andrea Mahone when she said that we only made 1 out of 26, and I felt like that. You know, now next in 2013, 2014, if they come up, then you raise his ratings up.
Auntie, hold on. I got to pay some bills and be right back after New with Tracy and Friends.
Okay.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we are back afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
Howdy, howdy.
Here we go. No, Charlie, we're not going to do that this time.
That's a grocery store.
There you go. I'm back to the show, y'all. Hey, Jeff in the air chair here, and we are going to go through how it's supposed to go. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. I was talking to one caller, and I'm going to have her hold for just a second. 330-333, you are in the air.
Hey,
Hello? Jeff. Yes. Yes, sir.
Just listening to you talk about what was going on here in Youngstown.
This is Mr. McWilson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
There are a couple of things, just so that you know, that have changed rather dramatically just over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. As you know, we were trying to get the board to adopt the Executive Order 13621, which for educational excellence for African-American students.
Right.
There's also an Executive Order 13555, which is a reauthorization of President Bush's executive order for Hispanic students as well.
Right.
These orders are important because they allow you to work within your own community to bring culturally relevant material and parents into the process, which is very important in terms of getting parental involvement, engage in the activities within the schools in a policy, procedure, and practice way. And those things have helped, and it has helped Hispanics move ahead.
Hold on.
And one of the things that we've been trying to do is get the same thing to get the African-American community more involved because they haven't been as involved as they can be a lot.
Hold on, Gemma.
Sure.
Hold on, Gemma. She hung up. Okay, go ahead.
As they want to be, and a lot of people who are simply don't know the issues, they don't know the policies, they don't know the procedures, and they go about just what they are told by the system itself. And what the system says is basically what they've been doing for years, and that's what the government tells them to do. What we were able to do is to go out and do a 14-year report card and give them a look at what's happened the last 14 years. And
right.
The report card shows that the district has been rated either a D or an F for 14 years in a row.
Sure.
And when you spend $1 billion-plus and all you can get is a D or F rating, and that's according to the state, then you know you're doing something wrong. You're repeating the same thing, and that's the insane part of it. And that's literally what we were trying to do. And so finally the Academic Distress Commission, the United Front part of the team, had taken that out and issued an ultimatum on it. The Academic Distress Commission at its emergency meeting, special meeting that it had on the 6th, ordered the superintendent to go over the board's head and get directly to the executive director in Washington and find out what those things are going to be to insert it into the state's plan, single plan, for Youngstown City Schools. Now, it was a bittersweet victory in that why should you have to go over your elected officials to get something done for the kids that they should be doing it for?
Precisely.
Precisely.
But see, here's the thing that happens, Gemma, and you know. We don't like to be at odds with all the players, but at the same time, we have to recognize that the union has a huge hand in saying how our children are going to be educated. And I think that their hand at times, not all the time, but at times, is overbearing to where it hinders our children, especially the two sets of children that you were talking about, because there was a directive from President Obama, which I absolutely agree with. You know, I'm not a great fan of his,
right.
But I absolutely agree with his directive to...
And it was the same thing with Bush. I wasn't a fan of his, but I was right on target with the fact that those things were issued and No Child Left Behind. People were
right.
Crazy about it, and I said, well... But it's the best
sure.
thing that came out of his administration, whether you like it or not. It was about accountability.
Absolutely, and that's what I was going to say is that, you know, and like I said, I'm not trying to get anybody into a peeing match with the union, but the deal is we have to be vigilant even with, you know, with all these players that our children are put first versus any other entity here. African American children, Hispanic children in America.
Well, you know, let me just
are
tell
pressed
you.
Now.
Let me say this though. What
mm-hmm.
people don't know in our campaign for African American achievement, and they can go on our website, achievementmatterscampaign.com, and you spell achievement with three A's. They can go on there, Jeff. There are three strategies, and the first two strategies that are on there, especially strategy two, if they go in there for the last 5 years. Everything on there has been documented in either professional photographers or videographers. And what they're going to see is everybody, black, white, blue, gray, and green. I mean, more than 15,000 people brought together. So that was for everybody. So a full component strategy within that was to bring everybody together from every side of town. And it was done.
Right.
It's only the third strategy that specifically focused on the African-American community because it is the most asleep. You understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir. Absolutely.
Two out of those three strategies are focused on all the children. That one strategy, that African-American community, which has been most asleep, that has been most menticidally conditioned to simply follow what others say do as opposed to critically think about what they need to do, and not depend upon what the government really tells them is best for them as opposed to what they should know is best for them. That's what
right.
we're after right now. We're trying to break that mentality.
Well, we're gonna move on this as a concerted group of people, period, in this area, because it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary.
Well,
I
can tell you this. We have, as you know, in 2 years ago, I had come to you at the same time when we were anticipating this battle, and we had a commitment of four statements on the campaign, and you had signed one of those, and we went to pastors and a whole bunch of people, about 40 people, who were supposed to be leaders on this issue to speak out. For these kids to reclaim the minds and hearts and minds and of these kids to get them on the right track and to move the system to educate them differently. Now, people thought we were kidding when we did that. That was December the 4th, 2010. And we
mm-hmm.
held that summit at YAS, Youngstown State University. And we videotaped it and we put it up on YouTube. Well, the payoff was we got that executive order. That's what we were working for. And we tied that to the campaign which we were running at the time, and we brought all those people together. Now it's supposed to be implemented, and that's what we're mobilizing for now, is that excellence. We were 5 years, and for the first time in 5 years, a board member has stated that excellence should be the goal. Now, why should it take 5 years to get a board member to say excellence should be the goal? That's 5 years. You understand what I mean? It took 5 years to get one person in a leadership role to say excellence should be the goal.
Well, I understand your plight, as you well know. And I see exactly what you're saying.
But that's what's killing our kids. And what I keep telling people is that if you don't understand what's killing our kids, it's going to kill our community and fill our jail.
Well, I agree with you. I want you to hold on because we're going to continue to work this through as much as you can. Okay.
All right.
267, you are on the line.
Yeah, well, I'm calling from a large urban school district, and I'm in a city that's a little bit bigger than Youngstown, and the problem that's happening
is the
schools are closing mostly in the African-American neighborhoods because they're trying to gentrify a lot of these neighborhoods because they don't have a tax base now because they've had very poor people in these big cities for so long. And now they can't raise the revenue to pay the bills of the school district and to pay the bills of the other services that need to be done in the city. So they have to attract a higher income individual to come back into the city. So that's the reason why the school districts are suffering now, because they have done such a poor job for such a long period of time. And they have created so many dropouts that are living in the city and they're not paying taxes. And so they're drawing on the government to pay their daily expenses, but they have so many now that it's not able for the city to cover all their expenses. So this is the problem now. The thing with the Hispanics is many of them are migrant workers. They're coming from other countries. And they don't look at America as being their country. So that's the reason why they don't invest themselves that much into America. But gradually over time, I think that as more and more of them get the opportunity to go to college and to start to participate in American society, they're going to basically outpace African Americans in terms of their progress in America. Now the one group that does very well are the Asian Americans, the ones that come from India and China, because they have a mindset of they come to America to get an education and to generate money. So
not just that, Philly. They have a discipline already that does not exist here in the United States.
Yes.
Okay, so you know, there's no unruly Chinese kids, because over in China, you're unruly, they'll kill you. So you learn behavior control early.
Right.
Well, one of the problems here, and let me just inject in as a part of I've spent the last 20 years searching for this process of how do we get this under control. And how do we get this under control? And part of the problem is we have to not be ahistorical. It was designed for us to be deculturated, our families to be destroyed, and people who were put in charge of us were put in charge of us by the people who wanted that to happen. So what we have to look at now is who are, and Jeff, you've brought this up a lot of times, who are our leaders? Do they have our interests at heart? Do they understand the issues? And are the issues liberating issues? And are they looking at things from the standpoint of economics? And are those economic issues our issues? And are those economic issues that are our issues looked at the same way that immigrants look at our issues? We don't look at things the way immigrants look at them, and we have to do that, because if we don't do that, then we have those problems. So we don't see things the way immigrants see them. So we can't compare ourselves with immigrants. because we were bred in this country to be just what we are, consumers.
Yes, sir.
And those people of us who are not just consumers do quite well.
That is absolutely true. South Carolina, you on there?
You know, Jeff, exactly what Jim is talking about. You know, I'm seeing the same thing here in South Carolina. You know, it's such a struggle to get people to want to have children in schools prescribed for excellence. You know, and even to the point of resetting the minimum requirements that a child be able to master a subject before he moves on. You know, the thing down here is, you know, not to destroy the child's self-esteem by keeping him back. You know, they want to socially, you know, promote down here, which really doesn't help anybody, especially not the kid. You know, and it's just like beating your head up against a brick wall to get the leadership, you know, and not the followers. It's the leadership to change their mindset. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like the leaders have been brainwashed into believing this. Either they've been brainwashed or they've got something in the pot that they're trying to protect.
Yeah, Jeff, he is absolutely correct. Our biggest obstacle right here, right now, is not the average person. I mean, we've interviewed 2,200 people on the ground that want to move ahead. What we've got and what we found out from interviewing those 200 people is that the people who are leading them, that they refer to the most, is
right.
Our biggest obstacle in terms of suffering is redemptive. Rely on your faith, but don't do the work. And what we ask them real point blank is, when you say that, how are you going to go down to the water company on Monday morning? Are they going to accept an IOU from your faith? The answer is the water company is not going to affect an IOU. So it's the same thing when you go to the school. They're not going to accept an IOU in terms of your behavior. They're not going to accept an IOU in terms of your grade. The college is not going to accept an IOU if you want to go there. If you want to be an entrepreneur in terms of legally, they're not going to accept an IOU in terms of your performance. So the mindset of the leadership is already mentally passing on to their followership their mentality. And this has been proven, and we're about to bring that to the forefront here, because we're about to challenge those leaders who signed off on December the 4th, 2010. 70% of them signed off. We've got their signature, we've got the date, and they're on videotape. Now we're about to challenge them publicly with what they said and what's on videotape.
Right.
Either you meant it or you didn't mean it. Because right now, 50% of the problems with the school system in Youngstown are the people in the community who are undermining what the schools are trying to do. So on the one hand, you've got the union. But on the other hand, you've got the people who look like the kids in the community who are causing the other part of the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And one thing, like I said, if we don't attack this on the level that we're starting to attack it, I'm not trying to advocate that we're trying to grab resources just for black people and just for Hispanic people. But let's look at the statistics. And the statistics don't have anything to do with race. They have to do with the system. And the system does not do a good job of teaching those that are not the mainstream per se of America right now, which means more European American type people. It's a little harder for you to navigate through this system if you have to adapt at a certain time. historically, African-American young boys do well up until the third grade, and then they start to regress. Why? Why is that so? And then if it is so, why haven't somebody in the upper echelon of education recognized this fact and changed it?
And, Jeff, to be honest with you, perfectly honest with you, we have given to them best practice schools run by best practice principals.
Exactly.
Where they can go and feel it, see it, hear it, watch it, adopt it, and they refuse to do it, which
yes,
is why
sir.
It's taken them so long. Now they've been ordered, and it's in writing from the state that they have to do it. Now you ask yourself, why would we have to go all the way to the state, and then now the state ordering them to go to Washington to do something that they could have gone up the street to find out how to do?
And not only that, if some of you are puddle jumpers, which I mean going from one political job to the other, okay, if you're puddle jumping, it seems like you'd want a little feather in your cap to really do something meaningful for some children instead of just making yourself safe for your next political job. That's where I get ticked off at.
Well, I found out real clearly, and unfortunately, we're going to have to call spades, and that's why I moved here and gave up $100,000 compensated job to do it for free. And my son say, how can you help people if you're poor? Well, if you've got nothing, they can't take nothing. And the ball game is then you can call people out because there's nothing they can do to you. And when you find people pimping children, especially pimping children in poverty because they're making money, you need to call that stuff out, and a lot of that is going on, not just here, but this just happens to be our model, and we've documented this stuff. You know it. I know it. But having documented, there's a book being written. The documentary is being made right now because we've documented this stuff. But really, you had to get the model in place to turn the model around. You had to put a plan in place. We had to get the state involved. We had to get the federal government involved. And when you have to go that route, when you've got people making money who are supposed to, who look like the children, we're not talking about the people who don't look like the children, who you may not expect to do it, but now you have to go get those people who don't look like the children to help you help the children who don't look like them. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, that's
Jim, what you just described, man, sounds like pre-Brown South Carolina.
I'm serious. There's 1,000 cities that are just like what you're talking about and what I'm talking about, and that's why we're building this model, and we're modeling it, we're putting it on the internet so that 1,000 other cities can look at it and understand that it's going on in their city, and they're going to have to take charge with the courage to go out there and make it happen. Yes, have the faith. Yes, say the prayer. But once you do that, you're going to have to pray while you start it. You're going to have to pray while you're doing it. You're going to have the faith while you're doing it. But you're going to have to work at it.
But the main reason why you have African-American educators and administrators that fight against African-American children is because of the plantation mentality.
Absolutely.
Because of that divide and conquer. Because of that divide and conquer that was inbred in them during the time of slavery, whereas these other ethnic groups don't have that mentality to that degree. That's the reason why they're able to succeed at a much higher level.
But you see, our problem right now is, and I hear people saying this all the time, but those people, and I'm saying, yeah, but Michael Jackson said it best, go look in the mirror.
Absolutely.
And I say this to Christian people all the time, you say you are Christian, then go in the first book of the Bible, the first chapter in the Bible, the 26th and 26th verse, and ask yourself, do you believe you're made in the image of God? If you believe that, then go over in John 14 and 12, where it says, if you believe, greater things than I you can do. Now, if you don't believe those
Absolutely.
Two things, you're not a Christian.
Well, you got me right there, because that's where I come from. If you're not putting yourself, you know, you can go to church all day and you are no more a Christian than if you sit in a car and in a garage and call yourself a car. It doesn't work. It's not the same thing. You have to be active in making lives better.
Not just yours and your own, but other
people. Look on the things of others. And I'm not talking socialism. I'm talking human love and kindness. Be right back, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
All right, guy. I'll wait on it.
Hey, Philadelphia.
Yeah. So,
where you been hiding, man?
I have things to do during the day.
Hang on to it.
There's things to do, people to see, and places to go, eh?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Let me talk. Go ahead and write the check out. Then I'll talk.
Yeah, I've been here, but I've been able to call in, but I haven't been able to stay the whole 3 hours. I've been having to cut out.
Has it
cleared up down there yet? Y'all finished with the snow?
Yeah, just about. It's April now.
Okay. Well, it's like
hey, you should get this book.
In a day, so.
Buy this book.
Flip flops and. This week, this is a big spring break week down here.
Yeah, right.
And that one, well, maybe four.
Yep.
That one, that's a need. They were all.
Okay.
I'll call you later. Okay.
Hello, Gemma.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, you know, this is South Carolina, you know, and one of the areas I've tried to work in has been early childhood education.
Uh-huh.
I've been active with Head Start. I've been active with Head Start for a number of years, and with a program called First Steps, and back in the early 1990s. Here I was, fresh-faced in the Head Start scene, and I just had to tell them, I said, listen, you know, there's going to be some changes coming. You guys got to rethink how you're doing things, you know. You guys really have to start changing instead of, doing what you're doing, because they're going to swallow you up if you're not careful.
Yep.
And sure enough, they just kind of sat there, and once things started happening, that's when they wanted to yell racism. And unfortunately, that's what the case.
Well, you know, the problem is, and I tell people this all the time, I have filed three racial discrimination cases, and I've won all three. And I keep telling people, and they want to know how I did it. And I said, I couldn't do it until I was fully certified, verified, qualified, and validated that I was correct in what I was doing. And if you don't do that, you know what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you have to have all your ducks lined up.
The callers
yep.
that are in the queue. We're talking about education and how some things are going. And for a lot of people, I don't want to lose you out there because we're talking about inner city education. And it is a boondoggle a lot of times that keeps us from moving forward. In our area here in Youngstown, Ohio, which is in northeastern Ohio, that we have a lot of industry breaking out right now because of the natural gas and oil that they're finding up under the soil here. They've estimated that we have more oil up under our area than they have in all of South. I mean, all of the Middle East. So that's interesting dynamic. But here's the thing. You might be able to get the low-level, low-on-the-tree jobs if you are a laborer, which your education is going to do for you if you they don't do anything for it. But the bottom line is you're not going to really get the cream if you don't have the know-how to get it.
Yep.
And that's what we were talking about. Gemma, you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to switch lines. And Jeff, I want to make one point for the just in this education arena deal when you talk about urban schools, because there's a mistaken situation that goes on, and I want to pass this on to your listeners. When we fight, our strategies in our campaign for African-American achievement, we have three strategies. One is strictly focused on the family. One is focused on the parents. And one is strictly focused on African-Americans, period. The ones focused on the family are all families, regardless of race,
sure,
creed, color, whatever. The ones focused on parents are focused on parents, regardless of race, creed, or color. If they go to our website, they'll see how that works. And each of those have their own website. The ones focused on African-Americans are focused on the African Education Party, and that's laid out that way. It's very specific. But if you go into Youngstown City Schools and you look at the breakdown of the non-African-American, non-Hispanic families, which would leave you with the white families that are left in this district, these kids are being undereducated at a level that's lower than all the other suburban areas around the Mahoning Valley. So you have the white population in Youngstown at the five-year graduation rate being graduated at 59%. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah.
So the graduation rate at the four-year level is 57%. So you're losing 40-some percent of the white population in Youngstown. So they're hurting as bad as the black and brown population because the system is the way it is, even though 86% of the female teachers are white and 91% of the white male teachers are white, they're hurting their own just to maintain the status quo of the system the way it is.
Well, sure. But also I think that's happening because public education is taking a downturn overall. I heard a Caucasian man on Blog Talk say recently he has to pay upwards of $30,000 a year for his kids to go to a private school that's on the East Coast to ensure that his kids will probably be able to go to an Ivy League college. So, you know, the way the system is designed is you get what you pay for. So if you have a lot of poor whites in the Midwest who are in the public educational system the entire time they're in school, they're not going to do any better than the blacks or the Hispanics that are there because their parents aren't paying the money to have them educated.
Well, let me take you one step further because I want to make this clear so that Jeff understands what we're up against when you talk about money.
Sure.
Austintown, Boardman, and Kenfield, Jeff will tell you, in reverse the order, Kenfield, Boardman, and Austintown in that area have the highest home value rates of this area. Right, Jeff?
Yep. Yes, sir.
In that order. Okay. However, on their school system, they spend on average about
Go ahead real quick.
They spend about $10,000 per pupil. Youngstown spends $16,000 per pupil this past year. So it's
right.
Not always about money.
Not always. Gemma, with that, we're going to have to pay a couple bills. Can you hold on through the top of the hour if you can. If not, I understand.
I'll
we'll finish it up then. All right.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.
The one of the things I was trying to, that's the point I was trying to make. The person who's sending their child to another school to pay this high money, the battle is we're spending the money. We're not getting the value.
But what's happening with the public school districts is the money goes to people who are the administrators. It doesn't go to the classrooms. And that's the reason why they had to change the nature of the system. And they started to go to charter schools because they were finding that this was happening. That's why in most of the East Coast cities they have charter schools now, because in the charter school the parents and the teachers have more power over the how the money is put into the school. And so
our problem is going to be is that 94% across the United States, 94% of African American kids are in regular public schools, traditional public schools. And that's why we chose this project. Because if with this executive order, and we worked our ass off with people across the country, if we don't get a handle on the power of breaking the power somehow or other with what's going on in our communities or a community, we first filed a lawsuit in the 8th largest school district in the nation and won against the ACLU, the union, and the school district, and that was in San Diego, California. And then we had to flip script to do it in a small school district and do it differently, which is Youngstown. But you have to create those models of what is it that allows you to break the back of the process that is keeping our kids from getting to educational excellence within the system that's controlled by those who are in the system. And who are those in the system? And then name them. And then are you willing to go up against them?
Yeah, but the main way to break the process is you have to find out how the money is being allocated to each school. And the only way you can do that is you have to get out of the state-run school district systems. And that's what's happening in a lot of the East Coast cities. And they're starting to get privatized companies to run these different schools instead of the state, because the state wants to allocate the money to people who are the politicians and the people who are the administrators rather than paying teachers or buying books.
See, that's been changed here, and that's what the president's waivers on the No Child Left Behind, the core that's coming out, the laws had to be changed, the competition that came down through the race to the top. All of the states that are participating had to change laws in their states in order to participate. If you pull down that race to the top, it's about 390 pages. If you read that entire package, that competitive package, and go to achieve.inc, which all the governors belong to, if you read that, it's a big document, but if you read it, that is exactly what they had to do. They had to reallocate all of that, and every state had to change their laws. Over 40 states changed their laws in order to participate. And in all 26 to 30 states that wanted a waiver from No Child Left Behind, they all had to change their laws to get those waivers. Mm-hmm. And all of that was that script was flipped in order to make that happen. So it's a major shift, because what the president also did was put money into more charter schools and more innovations in charter schools than any other Democratic president. It was almost a break with the unions. It's not an entire break, but that was a part of the deal. There was going to be more charter schools, more innovation, and pushing it down to the classroom.
Because they have a situation here in New Jersey, in one of the counties, it's called Camden County, and the city is called Camden. The state of New Jersey was allocating upwards of like $24,000 per student, but the dropout rates were not changing, and the test scores were not changing. And it's because, and eventually what had to happen is the governor of New Jersey had to take over that school district because it was a problem. That was obvious. That was probably
there was probably like some type of problem that was with the mayor or the person who was the superintendent of the school district.
I followed Camden for years. Camden has just been a cesspool for years, and it's the same thing here. Okay, and literally, I looked at it about 20 cities that I wanted to move to when we invested to move into a place and just decide we're going to sit down, train people in that city as to how to go after that school system, because educational excellence equals economic empowerment equals social status change and a reduction in crime. It's that simple. That's how it works. And if you don't get those things in order, nowhere you go to, any city you go into where you have educational excellence, economic empowerment, social status change, you get a reduction in crime. Any city across the United States. And when I say reduction in crime, I'm talking about the crime we see in our cities. Now, and I'll tell everybody, when you flip the script on crime and even gun control and all that sort of stuff, you have a higher rate of gun violence among white males than you do among black males.
Right.
People don't understand that when I say it. But all you have to do is go to the CDC, pull up all the statistics, and look at gun violence, period. Don't say I'm going to look at the age group 15 through 24 or 14 through 19. Just look at gun violence for black males and white males, period, regardless of age group.
Well, I think a lot of the gun violence that occurs probably out in the country areas or like in the rural areas, it's not reported by the television news stations that are located.
There you go. They want to make it black.
Talking to you about what's on your mind and talking to letting you call in and see what's on our mind. So we're looking. We're looking for you. We got a good conversation here going on education in America, and we're having a good time. And I think the Lone Stranger is on our way back in here in a couple seconds, and so we'll get things moving along. Gentlemen, here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We're here on the air. Go ahead. Whoever wants to go first, you go ahead and do it.
Well, Jeff, I'm going to have to go, but I wanted to let you know that I will keep you abreast of this change because we're also have a team going to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We have a team that's actually going to be going to the House Education Committee staff. We're going to be visiting every House Education Committee staff and every single Senate Education Committee staff about Youngstown because they're using federal dollars, especially the SIG money, in the American Recovery and Reinvestment money, almost $11 million. And frankly, with the report card, we want them to take a look at the fact that they just simply have been not doing what they're supposed to do, and there are a couple of other things that we have online. So we're not leaving it just in Columbus. We're going to take it all the way to Washington, D.C.
Wonderful, wonderful. And
go ahead. I'll keep you abreast of that.
Excellent. Later today, give me a call right after 3. I need to talk to you.
All right, then. Will do.
All right, my friend.
Hey,
all right.
You other guys take care.
Philly and there's just Philly in there right now. Alex is sitting there back in the wind. If you want to say something, you got it, bro. I guess not. He's just gonna listen today. As Barry White's younger brother, Alex, that's him. And, you know, he's got Barry White's voice, and you can't tell me no different. I don't want to hear it. Go ahead, Philly. What's going on there in Philly now?
Well, as I mentioned, they are closing a lot of the public schools. They closed over 30 public schools here. And it's because of the reasons I mentioned. They had declining enrollments because the parents were choosing to send their children to charter schools instead of the public schools because of the quality of education. But I think if you compare what people pay who send their children to private prep-type schools, namely on the East Coast, the amounts of money they pay in tuition, and most of the parents are either Asian
or Caucasian who are paying, you know, these prices. If you compare them to what the poor white children are faced with in terms of what their choices are after they complete their education, and, you know, it's a great difference because the intensity of the education that you get in these private prep school type academies is much more intense in terms
of
the classes they take, in terms of their average scores, in terms of the SAT. You know, there's a great difference. And so the American educational system is so good on the higher educational type level because what the colleges and the universities charge each student to attend there. So therefore, these schools are able to build these this large amount of money in terms of their endowments because they generate so much money. And so the public educational system is basically one in which you're burdened with people who are in the administration who are commanding huge salaries, but the money is not going back down to the neighborhood schools in terms of the quality, paying for quality teachers, paying for books in the classroom, paying for that type of instruction, because many of the parents are lower income and they're not putting any money into the school. And the school is not able to get outside donors to donate money to keep the school running. And that's the reason why you're seeing many of these urban school districts go to more of a charter school model, because the charter school can be run on a private basis. Even though they get state-allocated funds, they can still get funds from private donors, whereas if they were in the state system, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, no doubt about it. We're seeing the situation as it is. Nobody wants to remember this, though. When they created a thing called the Black Codes in America, the Black Codes didn't just apply to black people. It applied to just the same people that Margaret Sanger said she wants to kill.
Yeah.
Okay, and what is that? That is black, yellow, and poor white babies.
Yeah.
Well, in the Black Codes, black, yellow, and poor white babies also were going to be held to this standard. We'll let them get educated, but we will not let them get educated to the level of, and then they, you know, they said, of the personally, the white man. The white supremacist people did do this. This was not a something that was, this is real. And people don't think that that's still in effect today.
Right. Well, it's still in effect today, but today it's more about the person's economic status as to what you can get out of America. I mean, I would say race still plays a part, but if you're African American and you have the money to pay for things and to get the best quality, you'll be able to get the same things that someone who is Caucasian can get if they come from a poor type status in terms of their income. So,
well, absolutely. We're looking at one man. You're looking at one man in particular, which was Ben Carson,
Dr.
Ben Carson, who grew up in abject poverty. Okay.
Right.
However, he overcame that because he did have a mother that instilled education in him.
Yeah.
I give the example of my father, who was adopted. He was abandoned in a railroad station, brought up to Pennsylvania to the coal mines first, where his father was working. Then his father came to Youngstown and was working in the steel mills, and they grew up pretty poor. Okay,
right.
Even though they were working in the steel mills, they weren't making the money in those days, like, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Not in the 20s and 30s. So he learned how to hustle and do his thing, and he had a dream about going to school and being a lawyer. So he had that instilled in him by God.
Right.
All these other kids do not, if we're going to get into these schools, we're going to have to circumvent the influence of bad parents.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have,
and that's one of the problems is you don't have the parental involvement when you're dealing with people who are coming from a lower economic strata, and maybe
right.
if they're African American, and they don't have any goals, and they don't know how to set goals, and they don't know how to instill, you know, different things like the, they don't know how to instill the types of discipline they need to instill for their children to succeed.
And that's where it's going to really take us being able to have to manage the school system, because you need real teachers that will
right.
instill in these children something. If that teacher believes in them, sometimes they do exceedingly above that which is going on with the you know, with the parent. Because,
well, also, you know, if you want the teacher to operate as a social worker and a psychologist too, you have to pay these teachers more money to even start the job. So, you know, teachers should be making salaries that are almost equal to what doctors and lawyers make if you want them to succeed with these inner city children, because they have to not only teach them, but they have to be a psychologist, they have to be a social worker. So
that's
you know,
true.
Yeah, right. So
that is true. That is true. But we'll see how that turns out, and we'll see what's going on. Thanks for your call, 330-831. You're on the air.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Bonnie.
I wanted to ask a question. Do you know, and I'd like to hear what you think, if you do know, about the Common Core? That's going to be, it's already in several of our schools, and there's really, I think, only four states that haven't taken it in. You know, the, you know, what is it, a Rise to the Top or a Race to the Top or something
race
like that.
To, yeah, the Race to the Top Fund,
given
right.
Different names. I mean, different places give it different names. But
right.
Do you know what Common Core is, what it's about, and I didn't know if you know, wanted to talk about that topic because.
Oh, you can bring it up. Bring it up. Common Core is sort of tied to that Agenda 21 thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
And they're a very very dark organization, very dark program that they're doing, and that is secondary to the Race to the Top, because the Race to the Top were only funds that paid the teacher, or was able to be paid to teachers that excelled in their children, you know, teaching their children that they were in charge of. And that was the good part of that program.
Well, the other thing I heard about Common Core, and I'm going to have to investigate this more.
Sure.
They said that one of their major ideas, and there's like three, and we know what you're saying. I heard two, a very dark side. It's almost blackmail. It's almost used in a blackmail type, you know, the money is there if you do this, and this, that kind of thing. But I heard that there's going to be even less parental involvement under those programs because they want the parents kind of excluded to not know what their children are learning, to not be a part of any of that. And that was one of the things that we know that parents have to be involved for children to feel secure and loved and all those things that they can grow healthy. I just can't imagine the school system on the other side, you know, not involving parents or wanting them involved. It's more control,
sure.
Like parents don't know what they're doing. Oh, you know, they don't know what they're doing. And kind of excluding parents altogether. Because the major wording for No Child Left Behind for any of the listeners that are dealing with anything like that, oh, we want parents involved. We want parents involved. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult for a parent with even that saying it's what we're supposed to be doing, can you imagine how much more difficult it's going to be when that takes place?
Absolutely.
They're going to be doing things. They're going to be doing things. Children's privacy will no longer be there. That, you know, this thing that they've always had. The juveniles have been, had, you know, a level of privacy. It's going to be taken away. And they're going to be exchanging things. So we really need to watch out for that. I'm going to do more investigation, and I hope it, you know, more people call in and give more information about that.
We'll get on that, you know, when we do a whole complete show on education and some of the things that are happening, because certainly that's something that needs to be, you know, alarmed so people can tell what's going on. Because this stuff is crazy.
Now, you don't have any younger children, Jeff, in school? You don't have any younger children, like, right now in elementary school?
No, no. My daughter is in her first year of college.
And you don't have any grandchildren or anything in there?
I have some grandnephews and niece.
Okay.
No, grandnephews all in schools throughout America.
Private schools or public schools?
Public schools.
And they're doing
public
okay?
Schools. Right now they are. But like I said, up until about the third grade, African-American children do fine. Men, especially. The girls continue usually, but the men only do fine up to third. And then it's the bottom falling out. But we're going to have to do something about that. We're going to do that on a day when we can really do education. So we're going to go to a break here, and we're going to bring back. We might have this strange lady here in the studio with us. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair. We'll be right back talking to you about what's on your mind, and that's what we're going to do. Bye-bye.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680.
We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. An ex-convict charged with killing his father at an Easter Sunday church service in Ashtabula made rambling comments during an appearance in court. 28-year-old Rashad Riddle talked about God and said that he wanted to be treated fairly. Ann Riddle, who is sister of the victim and the aunt of the suspect, said the family knows of no possible motive. Local, state, and federal enforcement officials arrested five people in South Youngstown for their alleged roles in a theft ring. The people are accused of stealing trailers and equipment from several businesses. And police in Central Ohio say six teenagers were wounded by gunfire over last weekend. Columbus police said the teens were shot in three unrelated incidents in the city. None was seriously injured. The Columbus Dispatch reports that no arrests have been made. Detectives could not explain why the shootings occurred within a three-and-a-half-hour period late Saturday into early Sunday. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
You won't believe how much less you can pay for Shell fuel with the Fuel Rewards Network program. Just shop, eat, and more to earn rewards. Then save big at Shell. Sign up free at FuelRewards.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends.
Dan?
What's your name?
I'm Tracy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tracy is here.
Hey, you know what? I want to thank all of you guys who listen out here. We're not on iHeart this week, and we're not streaming because the encoder's down. And,
wow.
And I want to thank all the people here locally who patch in. It's always good to hear from you, but I had a great experience today. Someone called me, and I was in the Board of Elections meeting, and I couldn't answer the phone. And so when I got out, and I've got this bad habit of not listening to messages, I just called the phone number back. It happened to be the wrong number. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, "Are you Tracy from the radio?" And I'm like, "Uh-huh." And people listen to this crazy show, but you know what he told me? He says, "Tracy, I have a hard time hearing sometimes." And he says, "Because people talk on top of each other." And so when I yell at you guys about not talking on top of people,
yeah,
I've got a reason. So you guys got to understand, we got to be careful. I know we're passionate about what we're talking about, and right now I'm going to head into a topic that we'll probably be overly passionate about. But please, I know we got something to say, and I know I'm very opinionated, so I've been told.
Mm. Are you?
And Jeff was always right and thinks he don't nobody know nothing but him. And,
that's right.
And we know that's an error, but he doesn't know it, so just let him go with it.
That's who I am.
But, you know, please make sure that we do not talk on top of each other as we call in. Hey, who's in the queue, Jeff?
We have in the queue, we have only 267 Philly right now.
Hey, Philadelphia, how you doing?
Hello. How are you?
How you doing?
All right.
And I know you said that I let other people talk, but you just got to get to the point because, you know, we talk fast here, and they're making me slow down, so you got to talk fast and get it out. What are you doing, Jeff?
All right.
A little background for what we're going
on.
No.
Hold on, Jeff. Wait a minute. I'm going to slow that down. Slow down. Hold on. Philly, what's going on? Where you been, darling?
Well, I'm not able to call one day all the time, so.
But where you
I
been?
I have other things to do. I have other things to do.
What is more important than talking
during...
to me?
Well, sorry about that.
Oh, I'm okay. I understand. I do. Got some announcements. One thing, Barbie Doll, who is from Antiques and All, and Jeff's got my information sitting on the other side of the desk.
Yeah.
She's from Antiques and All. They're on the corner of South Avenue here locally and Western Reserve Road. Stop by there. Say hello to Barbie. She has antique furniture and used furniture, collectibles, jewelry, and she buys and sells. So go out there and say hi to her. Also, there's going to be a garage sale Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here over in North Lima, and as soon as I find my piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
I'll be able to tell you some more, but I'm a little unorganized still, so hold on, and I'll get to it.
Yeah,
but now, I got a question, and I got to bring this up. There are two things. I heard this morning that Al Sharpton speaks for Black America.
Okay.
I heard that on MSNBC this morning, because I just want you to know, I heard it, and they were talking about education, and they were talking about public education. And I heard you guys talking about education a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the C-Corps that you guys talking about, the new curriculum that they have out there, it is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
And people, African-Americans, you need to be mindful that, because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it's not the Republicans that are going to kill you. It's going to be the system. And I'm going to say it just like that.
Yep.
And you right now, they're playing games with African-Americans and people who are poor and people who are undereducated and people who are underworking, or should I say underpaid. And they're playing on your emotions. And President Obama went to a church this past Sunday, and this is the Easter Sunday service. And the preacher decides to say that the conservative right is getting ready to put you back to the back of the bus, and that he's going to make sure that women are home and pregnant and make sure gays go back in the closet.
Yep, that's what he said.
You have to understand what is really going on here. And then those of you who are Christians, you need to wake up and quit being bamboozled. Because I watched a movie called The Under Shepherd on Sunday, I want you to understand, I have some issues with the movie, but I can't say the movie was not incorrect. A little maybe over-exaggerated some.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was over-exaggerated for the drama of it.
Sure.
But I do have to say that there's a lot of depiction that was in it that you could say I've seen some of it play out on stage, it was over exaggerated but can you tone it down and elaborate on some of the stories inside of there? Absolutely. And that should be a problem for you. But going back to my president and what's going on here, y'all getting ready to get bamboozled, and I want you to know it ain't Republicans that's going to boozle you or bam you. I'm serious. Is South Carolina on there?
No.
He had to be on there.
He's gone.
He's not all gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Who's the top one?
That's us.
And who's the that's Alex.
Alex is down there, yeah. He's not speaking.
He might be working.
Yeah.
He got a job.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you really understand that how serious this is.
It's absolutely serious. I watched that the other night.
What'd you watch?
I watched The Under Shepherd.
Did you watch that?
I watched Puffy Eyes before that.
What was that?
Announcing Roland Martin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But see, Roland Martin needs to sit down and lie. And hold on. Speaking of which, Al Sharpton said he a rep.
I know.
Rep Al Sharpton. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I'm going to do a couple things. Rebs don't take the pledge. The God out the pledge when they say it.
No.
Secondly, Omarosa Manigault from Youngstown, Ohio.
Right.
She gets on the afternoon show because last Friday I was watching daytime television because I'm usually here instead of watching TV. She gets on there with her mom.
Yeah.
And I want to send a shout out to her mom because this is not a slight against you. She tells me how she is a Baptist, ordained Baptist preacher now. Baptist preacher. But I ain't mad at her being a Baptist preacher. I'm going to let her go, girl, because if they let you do it, I'm impressed.
Well.
Because there's some Baptist folks here that won't even let you walk across the pulpit to watch it. But that's another thing. That's another story.
I just know
there's another
lie in the pulpit.
Somewhere she goes and someone not. But listen, Michael Duncan, she cried on the little Trump show because she's back on there. She cried on the Trump show last week, week before last, but Michael Duncan and her fiance and how she's suing LaToya Jackson because LaToya Jackson said that, you know, she probably killed him or something on that order. So she gets on this little man's afternoon show and she is promoting how of a person, it's the act that she's there, but she's not really there. And I saw her throw my city under the bus. I don't know what Youngstown she's from.
Mm-hmm.
And Youngstown has its issues as well as most inner city areas across this country.
Mm-hmm.
Youngstown has had some crime. We have been called murder capital USA.
No
yes,
doubt.
But I want you to know something. The majority of people who get killed and shot in Youngstown, whether they be kids, very few of them are walking down the street minding their own business. There's a lot of people that come out of the projects that have never been involved in gangs that don't die.
Right.
She made Youngstown sound like you had to put a bulletproof vest on to come walk down the street in Youngstown, and she almost literally had to come here last year and walk her little brother across the stage so he could graduate. Just want you to know, I've got issues with this. And I put it on my Facebook page, so if y'all want to be my friend, you can. But you gotta. I can't friend you because Facebook. Somebody hacked into my account and jacked me out. But go ahead. Yeah, that's a whole other issue. But so, I got issues.
She's probably revolving in different social circles now, so she can't. She doesn't want to go back to her, you know, past in the inner city.
Listen.
Hold on, let him get it out, because, you know, I promise I'm going to let him get it out. What do you mean he don't want to go back? Go back to what? She don't want nobody to know?
Sometimes when people transcend where they come from, they go into different social circles, so they have to put up a persona that is different than what they than probably what they grew up as.
But you ain't going to put me down. She put down my whole city. She put down the whole community. She acted like we all walking around here with bulletproof vests ducking. And I have issue with this because I love Youngstown, Ohio, and I love the valley in which I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where I go, it's like a family.
Absolutely.
I can talk about my family to my family, but when I go outside of my family, then I'm going to make sure I've got a better story to tell. So when businesses come here, they will feel as though they're somewhere instead of telling them that and fabricating something that is not.
Right, because...
Because if Youngstown was that bad, people wouldn't, in the suburbs wouldn't come here to get drunk on the weekends and then go back into the city, go back into the suburbs and act like Youngstown's a war zone. Because only crazy people come into a place and get inebriated and call it that bad. So you got to think about that. I'm on a roll here because I'm going somewhere with this.
Well, I've personally never been to Youngstown, but I would think that if you're dealing with somebody coming from an inner city experience, it depends on what line of work they eventually go into. And if they are a person who's a professional person, the social circles they're in are much different than the people they came up with in the projects.
Okay, I'm from the projects. I'm from the sticks. I'm from the hood. Okay, you know the projects are a project. It's a place where people who are in poverty live. But that did not mean that everybody, all your neighbors were under you, and you were the only one that made it out. And everybody else was a thug.
Yeah, the thing is, I was part of her coming out, you know, because I was on the board of the Miss Youngstown Scholarship Pageant when she won and went on to Columbus, and you have to teach them etiquette and stuff like this, this, that, and
I
other.
I ain't mad at her, Mason.
Well, listen, I'm not mad at her either. I'm just my point is this. She was who she is then. She's no different now than what she was then. And for her to say what she is, that's absolutely her. That would be her.
But she's trying to shape herself into something she's not.
Absolutely, because she's getting paid to do it.
But you got to understand right now.
Yeah.
She gets on there, and she's an ordained preacher. I got to go back to the preacher because now we on the churches. I wasn't segueing from the church. But she was living with Michael Duncan.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to just
Moose
saw on that for a minute. Well,
that's okay.
What do you mean that's okay, Josh?
What do you mean? You can't live with somebody and be a Baptist preacher?
Preachers don't shack. Am I too old-fashioned for this? The number is 347-945-5229. Preachers, don't get me wrong. Preachers put on their pants like everybody else and go to the bathroom first thing in the morning. But don't follow a preacher who's shacking.
Now that's something different.
Let me tell you all this. That is the hint of the day. If you go to the church, and
if your preacher's shacking, get the packing.
That's what I'm saying. You don't go to churches with the preacher shacking. If he ordains people and he know they shacking,
right,
don't go to the church. If they let them in the pulpit and they let them preach to you and they know they shacking,
yeah,
don't go to the church. There's a problem. Seriously. And then Al Sharpton's doing a little clip, and he talks about that we're going to do something, we're going to be a nation indivisible, but he forgot under God. I'm confused by this.
He's not confused.
Preachers don't leave God out, do they?
You do when you're getting paid to leave God out.
No, Jeff.
God is Republican, so you cannot mention him.
Hold on. Then the president goes to a church and sits. I went to a meeting last week, and it was on education, and I don't know why they wanted me to come visit. I told them that they didn't want me to be there. It doesn't make sense for me to be at the meeting because you guys are left wings. You don't invite a conservative to a left-wing meeting and think I'm just going to sit there in the back and shut up. The wonderful person, I love her to death. I stopped her in the middle of her presentation and said, whoa, wait up. You got all this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go on too far. Do you understand what? You can't just sit there and be quiet.
Right.
You told me to take a break in a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was just telling you what's coming up in a minute. You can do what
you
want.
I only got a minute?
We got all you got. You got 49 seconds.
Well, I'll tell you what. I need somebody to call us and Jeff, because I'm serious. And it's open mic because my guest can't make it, but, you know, he'll be back. His name is Kevin Jackson. He's from the Black Sphere.
Right.
So he'll be back on in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about conservative politics again. And I want to come back and talk about Juan Williams' son becoming the new generator for black folks in the Republican Party.
Oh, no.
The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Wait a minute.
What, Jeff? You told me I had...
Yeah, you did. Of... You did your head.
Didn't I talk for 47 seconds?
No, not quite.
Come on. We'll be back.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle, and stands out from the competition.
Well, we have an incredible benefits package that includes medical, dental, and vision coverage. We have our on-site fitness centers and doctor's offices. We offer the 401ks where they can invest in their future. We have competitive pay rates to be competitive with everybody in the area and then still, you know, employ the highest quality people. And we're still growing and looking to employ more of the valley. We have the job hotline, which is 1-800-210-6269. They could also go to our website, infocision.com, and they can still even apply online.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Have you been thinking that the stock market and 401ks aren't what they're cracked up to be? Listen to Straight Talk Wealth with David Gallner every Saturday at 11 a.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at YoungstownSymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at YoungstownSymphony.com.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, Trace.
Hey, wait a minute. We're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's open mic, and the number is 347-945-5229. Congressman Bill Johnson wants you to come to a mineral rights town hall on this Thursday, which is the day after tomorrow, and it's called The Unraveling of the Federal Taxation. And it's an educational forum and town hall presented by the congressman to address your concerns regarding filing requirements when it comes to mineral rights. There are a lot of you out there who are interested, either going to get, you're looking into it, you're looking out of it, you want somebody to call you, or you're already in the process. And when you look at the federal taxation on mineral rights, you want to know what you're knowing, and you want to know what your accountant is saying to you, even if you have the best. A lot of people get swindled by their accountants and by people who do their taxes and things because you don't know what questions to ask. And when the ball drops, it drops back into your lap. It does not fall back on the person who helped you file your taxes. You have to understand that. You sign your Social Security number, you and your family. You are the guys, you are the ones who are being audited, not the person who filed. So you need to know what you know and what you don't know and learn. So come out. It's going to be at Kent State University, Columbiana County campus in East Liverpool in Salem. I'm sorry, it's on the, in the Salem campus. And it's going to be room 192 of the Health Sciences Wing. And then, and so please, if you want more information, give them a call at 330-337-6951. Okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
You got a local call in, too.
Yes, a local call. You are on the air here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Local caller.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
They put me on
they
hold.
They put us on hold again.
They put us on hold.
What's wrong with these rude callers, huh?
They put us on hold. They'd be all right.
I can't believe that. But no, 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 no. You're talking about Omarosa, and she's living the Westlake experience through the eyes of her other relatives, obviously, because didn't she lose a brother out on the street not too long ago, about 2 years ago? Because that's when Green Mile guy was here.
All I know is this. You know, I celebrate everyone's successes.
Sure.
But you never know. This is a lesson for the day. Second lesson. You never know what bridge you have to cross or come back across.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you do, don't throw gasoline and a match
don't
on the cross you bear. But not only that, I don't know. I understand preacher shacking, but maybe y'all are
going
to help me out,
bridges.
Philadelphia. You don't burn your bridges.
No.
Yeah.
If the preacher's shacking, you got to get the packing.
And that ties into what I was just saying about, you know, President. I don't have a problem with my pastor getting up and talking about political things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to get in there, tell the truth. And
at least.
Can you imagine trying to put black people back on the back of a bus today? As a matter of fact, I want somebody to go out and put colored people use the back door almost in your house.
Wait a minute.
Do y'all understand how hard it was it would be to do that?
Right now, some black folks love to sit on the back.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, no, but you got to understand. Do you know how hard it would be?
In high school, I wanted to sit on the back.
Back of the bus, the back of the church. What did you say, Philly?
Well, one issue that the black ministers should speak on is same-sex marriage. But I think that this issue now is at a point where, you know, the homosexual population in certain cities, they have the power to make sure this issue goes to the forefront in terms of them being able to get their legal rights because they're paying taxes, they're serving in the military, and they consider same-sex marriage to be part of the rights that they want as citizens. So the only thing the ministers can say about it now is they can say, well, if a homosexual couple comes to me and wants to be married, then I will go back to the Bible and say that's something I don't believe in. But I don't hear a lot of the black persons who are ministers saying anything about it because I think they're afraid to say something about it.
I know my pastor does publicly. But you have to understand, a lot of them have been disingenuous in their walk, so it's kind of hard to talk about stuff that you have kept silent on for years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, see, if I tell you don't shack and be a preacher, and then you find out that I've been shacking too, it's kind of hard for me to come out and say don't shack and preach when you can say, well, Tracy, how can you tell me don't shack and preach when you just threw your boyfriend out last week? And see, when I hire people that I know who are having sexual relations with people in the church, and I hire them, I allow them to be over my choir, I allow them to do whatever they choose, and I don't say anything to them.
But I think
then it's kind
of
hard.
In terms of African Americans, the reason why they live together because a lot of the times they don't have the money to actually pay for a wedding.
And they can't afford to make
that expense, and then it's easier for them to share their living expenses if they live together rather than if they live separate.
That ain't why they ain't, listen, that's not why folks ain't getting married. That's why they ain't shacking. You know, men don't commit well when they don't want to commit. And if you can get the, if you can buy the cow, why if you can get the milk, why would you go out and buy it, pay for it? See, commitment.
Well, that's
see,
probably part of it too. That's, you know, they don't want to. That's part of the reason they don't want to make that commitment. But I think also part of the reason is they don't have the income to invest
the income.
In some type of, you know, in a wedding ceremony. And then it's easier for them to split expenses between the man and the woman if they're living in a small,
that's not why,
you know,
folks shacking.
Type living space.
That's not what it is. Let me tell you why they're shacking.
Yeah,
I can tell you straight up.
You might as well. Go ahead.
Because I can. And they would. And somebody has told them, well, if, you know, try living together and see how you get along. And it's easier for you to part when you shack than it is when you marry. So I get with a man, and he got four kids by four women, and I bring him into my house, move him into my house. Why would he want to go out and have to take care of me?
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's easier that way. And then when he decides he wants to pack up and leave, he gets his toothbrush.
Yeah. Well,
that's
definitely a part of it. You know, the man doesn't want to make the commitment. He wants to be able to date other women. He doesn't want to commit to one woman.
I've got a situation right now, and I know of a person. It's funny you brought it up this way. They were living together some 20-some years, and somebody passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
I don't know what.
No will. Guess
right.
What? Now, I want you to, Philadelphia, you and I have been living together 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have no will.
Then,
you and I have been paying the rent. We've been paying the rent together, the furnace, the house, the roof. We did all of that. I died.
Then what
the house is in my name.
Then the woman needs to go to an attorney, and they need to file a petition that the woman is the common law wife after a period of like 5 years. If you live with a woman for over 5 years,
that woman is
the common law wife at that point.
No. No. Every state got different laws.
That's right.
Ain't no common in Ohio. Right now, you just common out.
Oh, it's not common law in the state of Ohio?
Common out.
Oh.
You get nothing. Ain't no, Pennsylvania may be different.
No. After 10 years, you get it all.
Not in common law. Not
a man and woman, yeah.
No, not in Ohio. Not any longer. Promise you.
Okay,
look it up.
That's all right,
it's either 5 or 10 years where
not
know,
in Ohio.
Partner becomes common law. Partner.
Not in Ohio.
Oh.
Not in Ohio. Right now, you don't have common law, and we don't have common law marriage in Ohio. I don't know if it has been in the past, but right now that law has been stricken from the book, and people are not common. Hey, the number is 347-945. Local call, are you there? Okay.
Yeah, where they going now?
So, Jeff, what church did you go to Sunday?
I went to Touch Heaven Church.
Okay. You guys got Miles Monroe coming.
Yes. Miles Monroe coming on not this weekend, but the following week.
It's free and open to the public or $25 for the day session?
$25 for the day session, but the night sessions are wide open.
And he's going to be here every night and every day.
I don't know how
my understanding
days.
Is he's going to be here every day of the conference.
That's a wonderful thing. Miles Monroe is one of the greatest biblical teachers in the world.
And let me say, he is one of the greatest leadership teachers in the world. He's a good leadership of family, a good leadership teacher of business.
Absolutely.
He is a good leadership business of life, and you'll be surprised by what you learn. Hey, Jeff, anybody up on the queue?
No.
How do you know?
I know.
Hey, see that? What?
Look at this.
Who?
Oh, 330.
330, your mic is on.
330, you are now in the air.
Okay, I've been listening to your program, and one of the things I might be wrong in this, but you don't go back to the foundation as to the cause of. You talk about the children in the school. It's not only the children in the school, but it's the children in the home. And in Isaiah, the third chapter of Isaiah, and starting in verse 12, says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to error and destroy the way of thy path." When you don't have order in your home, you can't
you
get anything. you can't get anything going. And order has been taken out of the schools and given to the children. And so the children are running things and not the ancient. And so as a result, we don't have
But I'm currently on my way out. I can't speak right now.
WSOM, Salem, okay, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, anyway, they whacked me off.
No, we didn't. We didn't back you off. Listen, I got to go take a break. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I want to hear what you have to say because it's very, very important, but I've got to take the top of the hour break.
Oh, okay, because I thought I got off.
Okay.
The rest of the world races ahead. We have to seize them. I don't want the next job-creating discoveries to happen in China or India or Germany. I want them to happen right here in the United States of America.
And he says the BRAIN Initiative could create jobs, not to mention possibly leading to cures for conditions like dementia or PTSD. The Senate begins debate next week on gun control legislation. Today, the National Rifle Association made its recommendations, including a proposal that schools across the nation train and arm at least one staff member. Mark Mattioli supports the proposals. His six-year-old son was killed in the Sandy Hook school shooting.
This is a comprehensive program. I applaud everyone for their input. I also want to say that I think politics needs to sort of be set aside here.
But Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings says the only solution is tougher gun laws.
The passion is deep and powerful, and that passion must and will, I am thoroughly convinced, lead to change.
Cummings' 20-year-old nephew was fatally shot in 2011. More senators are changing their positions on same-sex marriage and saying we do to it.
50 senators now say they support making same-sex marriage legal. The most recent Democratic Senator Tom Corker of Delaware and Republican Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois. Corker, the eighth Democrat in the Senate in a week to endorse gay marriage. Senator Kirk, just the second Republican.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. The Dow is up 95 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 28. This is ABC News.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your call. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Suffering from allergy congestion? Allegra D decongests. Allegra D depressurizes so you can breathe. Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine, plus a powerful decongestant that gives you 24 hours of congestion-free breathing. It even reduces swelling that can cause congestion and pressure. Allegra D, defense against allergy congestion.
Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Starts working in 1 hour, applies to first dose only. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Italy's appointed 10 so-called wise men to try to rescue the country from a political impasse after elections late last month left Parliament with no party strong enough to form a government. ABC's Megan Williams in Rome says not everyone is happy about the selection, though.
Many have protested the lack of women among the wise men. And political scientist Leonardo Morino says without popular backing, the council will do little to solve the country's deep recession.
The economic problems becomes, aggravated, much more serious, much more difficult to solve.
Putting Italy and Europe at risk. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
A Roman gold ring that may have inspired J.R.R. Tolkien to write The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings is going on exhibition in England. It's found in a field in southern England in 1785. It was linked to a tablet found at the site of a Roman temple. The tablet was inscribed with a curse on anyone who stole it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's that time of year again, tax time. If you get a tax refund, call Safe Auto for affordable state minimum coverage. Not only will it keep you legal, it'll protect you in case you cause an accident. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO now. Drive safe. Spend less.
I'm believing the good of all mankind.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Don't you ever go nowhere.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to go back to my call, but before I do, we want you to go out and see Barbie Dull, D-U-L-L-S, at Dull's Antiques and All on the corner of South Avenue and Western Reserve across from Dunkin' Donuts.
Excellent.
They are one of our sponsors, and I'm doing it live because I have not had a chance to do their script yet to do it unlive, so they get live reads.
You got to get it in the pipeline.
I know, but they get live reads. So since they get live reads, I appreciate who they are. They've been friends of mine for a very, very long time. Mm. And if you're looking for used furniture, if you're looking for collectibles, antiques, if you want to buy something, if you want to sell something, they do jewelry, very, very unique things. And it's a better way to get things done instead of paying full retail. So come out and say Barbie Dull, Adult Antiques and All. Mm. And the number is 330-787-2301. Hey, Preacher.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go back to what you were saying, because that was important, because my problem with the whole thing is that we're all out of order. So go back to what you're saying.
Start it over again
so everybody can hear it. We were talking earlier, before I came in, they were talking about education, and he came in and started talking about order. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In order to get anything accomplished, we must have order. And the Word of God has set things in order. And the third chapter of the book of Isaiah in the 12th verse, it talks about a situation that we're in, and I don't expect us to ever get out of this situation because the world is going in the wrong direction. The children are running the country, and we are following behind them, trying to cover up the wrongs that they've done. Children are not paying attention to Christianity anymore, and we are embracing foreign gods. And we see this in the history of Israel in the past, and the reason why they fell. This country is in a falling condition. Unless the people at the ground roots, as you were talking about, your minister shacking up with somebody, don't go to that church, you're correct. When the country decides to go against God, as they have with this abortion and the homosexual rights thing, is not what I think or what another individual thinks. It's what God has ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage is a contract, which most ministers don't want to talk about, contracts by God. Marriage is a contract, or one of the first contracts is put forth, and all contracts are founded on that principle.
Could I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
It's not only a contract, but it was a blood covenant.
Okay.
And it was the very first covenant that God made with man.
That's right.
And the first command was to be fruitful and multiply, and nothing comes out of two likeness of nothing.
No, because
it don't work that way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with you 100%.
Unless I missed the biology class that day and it changed.
So,
but then where people.
It's a thing that God has ordained the law against homosexuals. Man has nothing to do with that. Either you follow that command or you don't. In the country that fails to follow that command, that country falls. And we know this and understand this by history. So there's no debate about whether this is good or bad.
But the problem is, you are right. You're right. The question is, when is a church, when are the people who know better going to stand up and say better? And I went to I went to see the Passion over the Easter weekend.
Uh-huh.
And it showed the disciples. And there's a whole bunch of folks talking about heaven. They talk about heaven. They tell you to bring your all to the altar. That God's going to work things out.
Uh-huh.
But when I look at the and they tell me that they are preachers, and they tell me that they are apostles, and they are bishops, and they got a whole bunch of titles.
Uh-huh.
But when I look at the list of the people who really followed Christ in the Old Testament and how they died,
uh-huh.
they died for telling the truth. And my problem is we got a whole bunch of folks getting paid, but ain't nobody telling the truth, because the truth does not always get you an offering.
That's what
nor
the
does
problem.
It get you paid.
I get thrown out of congregations fairly regularly because I go to the minister when they error and point into the Bible where the error is. And I look for them to come back to the congregation with truth. It's all right to make an error. There's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with that. But it's bad when you know the difference and won't make the change. And we have, just like you said, because of money, we have an awful lot of people who are going after the money rather than going after the truth. And so our situation in this country is because we have left God's word and gone after our own understanding. And until
I got a question for you, because, you know, the Bible was the number one TV watch thing in America the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know.
And so how could you say that? And I watched over the weekend while I was home, I watched what was the channel called? The National Enquirer or the National? It might have been
the History Channel.
The History Channel. And they were showing they came up with all kinds of gospels that I ain't never heard of. I mean, they did. They came up with some stories I ain't never heard about. Now, I mean, Jeff may know, because Jeff knows everything.
Yeah, I know.
But they came up with some serious stuff that I'm really – how could you say that they're taking God out when the God that they just told me about on the History Channel and
uh-huh.
all these professors and theologians
oh, yeah.
and all these folks, they came up with their own gospel where Jesus was married to Mary – had an affair with Mary Magdalene and was in love with Peter.
Yeah. And I wrote the thing. I had a well-known fella in Akron that asked me that question because he had read a book concerning this. I only use King James Bible. I went into my King James Bible and gave him some information on this, and I happen to have this information here. I would really like to come down to your studio and meet you.
When you want to come? Why don't you give me a favor. Jeff, pull his number down and write it down for me.
Okay.
And we'll call you when we get off the air.
Okay, that would be super
okay.
nice.
That
would be very good. I'll hang up and look for your
don't
call.
Don't hang up yet. Hold on. Don't hang up yet, because if you hang up, the phone number will go away.
Okay.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. Hold on just a second. Philadelphia, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, one thing that people on the left, the argument they make is the institution of marriage, something that is controlled by Christianity or the church, and should the state be allowed to, tell who can be married or not? And that's the argument that the homosexuals are making in terms of same-sex marriage, that the state should be the entity that's given the right to determine the people who can be married in that state.
But now, Philadelphia, now look at what happened in California. Prop 8 was taken down, and now they're back. I mean, they're trying to get the Supreme Court to overturn the will of the people of the state.
But I think that the state of California over time is eventually going to allow same-sex marriage because of the number of people who are liberal in the state, and I think that that vote was a vote that was probably they allowed certain Hispanics who were Catholic
Ooh.
Or conservative to vote, and that's the reason why, and that's the way they got Proposition 8 passed.
That was,
but I think
that
over
was,
time,
no,
as
that was,
you go
I,
to the younger generation.
No, that was conservative African Americans in the inner city that came out that year. And they remember, for a very, very long time, African Americans really did not buy into the same-sex marriage thing because that was perverted to us.
And they were upset that black people didn't. There were slaves, so I don't understand what we're going through because it's not the same thing.
And that's when they came up with the alignment between civil rights and African Americans and civil rights and the and gay and lesbian relationships.
And the gay, then they say the gay. Gay rights is the new civil rights.
And that's where that came in. And
then the NAACP.
And then they got Ben Jealous. Is that his name?
Ben Jealous.
They got Ben Jealous to buy into this.
And Al Sharpton buys into it, and Julian Bond buys into it, too. But I think also it's going to be a generational thing. The people under 30 years old, they don't have problems dealing with people who are gay. So I think
as they get older,
it's going to be more accepting of gays in different parts of society, and same-sex marriage will be passed in all 50 states, but it's probably going to take probably 8 or 10 years for that to happen.
No, baby. Listen. Let me predict this to you, and I don't agree with my prediction, but I'm going to tell you. Before the next presidential election.
All right.
if the church does not stand up and become the church. You will see same-sex marriage legal, and
that's
you will
right.
see you will see an America that you that's really don't want to know.
Amen.
Yeah, you have no idea, and the people have no idea what's getting ready to happen as a result, and because see, Adam and Eve did not die the same 24-hour period that they sinned. Okay, they died in the year. It says in the day you do it, and it goes on later on in the Bible where it says that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a one day to God. They died in that 1,000. Nobody busted 1,000 years in living. Oldest
right.
was Methuselah,
and we don't know where he went.
Well, no, we knew Methuselah died.
No, which one got caught up?
Enoch. Now that's the book you want to go get one. Get the book of Enoch.
But I will say this: we can't imagine what's coming.
No.
And the only way that we can put this mess back in and cap it is a supernatural process. But
mm-hmm.
only the people of God, both black and white, because
mm-hmm.
God is not a God of color. He's
Amen.
A God of order, and he's a God of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, which is of all races,
mm-hmm.
and all, and let me say this, for people who are homosexuals
mm-hmm.
and they're lesbians, this
mm-hmm.
doesn't exclude you.
Mm-hmm.
But what it says is you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You have to acknowledge what you do is wrong
mm-hmm.
and that you're saved by grace. But if you don't come under the blood, you're just going to be a lost little chickie. I'm trying to be, you know, and Christ is the equalizer. But what we're doing, see, it's not that what you're doing is so bad. It's what you're doing is you're calling what's not normal and what is abnormal and which is against God. You're trying to normalize it and call it the new normal. You know, we all sin. Don't get me wrong. We all are messed up. Even the best of people are jacked up.
But a lot of the homosexual lobby now is supported by scientific research in which they're saying that people are born gay.
Listen, I'll say this to you. We're all born in sin, so I'm not quite sure how you get shot out the womb, but I know you got to be born again. And the problem that is, if you don't say what is abnormal and try to, you cannot tell me that two girls and two boys being together is
also
normal. That's the problem.
Well, but also, you know, the DSM is the diagnostic manual that psychiatrists and psychologists use to diagnose people, and homosexuality is not considered to be a thing that's an abnormal psychology in the DSM.
Yeah, we
so
know
that's
that.
One of the first steps towards the attempt to normalize gays into society. Because what the psychologists say now is if a person is gay, they can't be treated for that.
Okay, then guess what? Listen here. If your natural affections will never transfer over to an affection of you wanting to have be in a sexual relationship with a person of the opposite sex, then maybe you need to stay by yourself. But you don't need to go, because fornication and sex outside of a marriage bed is absolutely wrong no matter how you slice it. So if you really have to, if you say that you really can't change your affection, you could never be with a man or never be with a woman, then I tell you what, just stay by yourself and have friends. But you don't have, but lust needs to come out your heart.
You need to let that go. But here's the thing. I understand, because the Bible is very clear about certain people that become reprobate in that, because God allowed them to become to give them a reprobate line. The people that changed that Philadelphia were the academic people, the highbrow people that are changing the laws now, because that's how they get in first. They start giving you some kind of psychological babble, and then they want you to go for this. But we're going to take a few seconds here.
But I promise you, if you look at the anatomy of man and woman, I promise you, you will not find it where it looks normal to you when they come together.
Right.
It just
we're
going to
pay some bills, Trace.
Go
pay
right
back.
Family, unique, individualized, and promoting.
Well. Yeah, hello?
small.
Oh,
Bill
small.
Johnson, Congressman Johnson in the 6th District, mm-hmm. he's going to be having a town hall meeting down at the Salem campus of Kent State University. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it is not tomorrow, Thursday. My days are all screwed up. I'm sorry. Thursday. Don't say tomorrow. Say Thursday. And it's mineral rights unraveling of the federal taxation. The tax code is very, very complicated, and the more you do and the more money you make, even when it's a thing that you don't think you're going to get, it becomes cumbersome. And so they're going to have a town hall meeting that will let you have some information. People from the IRS, they're going to be there on hand answering any of the questions, and you're doing this 11 days before tax season. So, Jeff, you can go down there because you know you got millions.
I wish I did. You know what? I'm glad you prophesying over there, prophetess. Prophetess.
Millions. And the number is 347.
Bush.
No, I'm just Tracy. I'm telling y'all, I'll mess around with titles. Leave the titles alone.
Right.
Titles jack
right.
you up.
That's all right. They may jack you up.
You know, seriously, you know, what? My name is Tracy. I don't see nobody calling Jesus, you know, Master Rabbi Nye. They yelled on Jesus. That's all of us.
Well,
we need
Bonai, and he said, you know, good teacher, he said. They said
he was the master, and they still call him
Jesus.
Why
do you call me
Jesus.
Good? He said,
none is good
but
my
good
Father.
God. That's what he said.
And then, what else did I want to talk about? Oh.
You didn't talk about Obama going to church yet.
Oh, I did. I mentioned it. No. I just,
they weren't preaching like that.
I don't know. All I know is I don't understand. I don't understand.
They want to put black folks in the back of the bus.
And
Jay's back in the closet.
I don't understand. I don't. And that was a Christmas morning. That was an Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
Philadelphia, we're here. Alex, your mic is on. That was an Easter Sunday sermon. Who does that? That ain't an Easter Sunday sermon.
Those that want Obama to come to church in time. That's all it was. Come back.
Well, even Jeremiah Wright said the Obamas weren't people who were church going. They just joined his church so that he could make power moves there.
No.
But, you know, you get convincing people of that, especially Republicans of that, you try to convince them that he was not that kind of churchgoer.
Mm-hmm.
He's
right.
been in there 20 years. No, he didn't. He was on the roll and maybe sent a check 20 years. But that don't mean he went to church 20 years. There's a difference.
And even if he attended every single Sunday, it's just like this to you. Just because you sit somewhere don't mean you become where you're sitting.
No. He was because the church is very liberal.
Oh, it's super liberal.
Yeah.
The church is very liberal.
They ordain they ordain gay ministers too.
Well, so does the Episcopalian church now, don't they?
Well, yes. Half
or
of
is that
it.
The Lutheran church?
Half of it.
Is that the Lutheran or the Episcopalian church?
I can't remember. You know, I'm lost on that one now.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm
too.
I'm just
saying.
I mean, hey.
But also,
it
was people like Oprah Winfrey were members there, and many of the politicians in Chicago were members there. So he was trying to get into the state senate in Illinois. So he wanted
Guess
to
what?
Make sure he was around the right crowd of people. That's the reason why he joined that church.
Everything he did was by design, but you got to give the devil his due. It worked.
Yes, sure.
You may not like everything about him, but you got to understand. You need to learn from him because he's done some things that I never thought could ever be done, and that was put a straightening comb in the White House.
But
also I think he's being backed by a certain agenda. There are people behind him who are telling him what to do, and he's not doing all this by himself.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. But my problem is, what I don't understand is why they're letting him get away with it. I mean, because African Americans are buying into him hook, line, and sinker and not questioning anything, and when you begin to question him, you, like, go away.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why African Americans don't question him because they're having a Cosby Show moment. You know, they're seeing the Huxtables in the White House.
And if you look
that's
at
the reason why they don't say anything.
If you look at the pictures and the photos,
yeah,
from you know that they put out on Facebook that the White House puts out, they are definitely Cosby moments.
Right.
They actually look better than the Cosby because you never saw the Cosby skipping down the street like that.
Right.
And I want you guys to know something. Y'all be putting on. They had everybody praying for the preacher because the president because he was getting things done. Some of those pictures have been recycled. I don't know if you guys know that, but
mm-hmm.
you know, They put in old pictures, and y'all think they new, and they not new. They're like from 8 years ago. I don't think everybody's been to the White House and prayed for him since they laid hands on him the first time. And everybody that laid hands on him didn't all have power.
Well, obviously, but then again, they subverted their power. You know, this is remarkable to me, you know.
What?
I mean, the whole thing, it's just remarkable.
What? What do you mean remarkable?
It's remarkable that people gave up every bit of their own personal belief system to support the craziness.
Listen, not only did they give up their belief system,
mm-hmm.
I want you to really understand what they're doing now. People do not understand that this gay agenda movement was put on the fast track by the President of the United States, in which they overwhelmingly supported, and they are not getting anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a smile. I was going to say a coconut smile.
Oh, I understand.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alex.
I think that one thing especially Republicans don't get about this whole thing. well, maybe some of them are because they're going against their platform now, but and everything. But one of the things that I guess a lot of conservatives don't get is that most Americans, even though they may believe a certain way, but they do not like to. Most Americans do not like to commingle their religion with their politics, and for whatever reason, people just a lot of conservatives just don't get it. And that's something you have to understand, that even if it's something that they have reject wholeheartedly, by faith. They will still support it politically because most Americans do not believe that their faith, that their religion should be commingled with politics, because what they see, what they think about is, oh, my God, we're going to turn into an Afghanistan. And you know, because Christian fundamentalists are just as crazy and whacked out as Islamic fundamentalists.
No, sir.
And that's
not
true.
No.
Yeah, they are.
It depends on what Christian you're talking about.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of folks that everybody, it's like the people who, everybody calling themselves a Christian, they're not Christians, they just something, but that don't make them Christian.
Here's what I can tell you, though. Let's put it like this. With the advent of the evangelical type movement, or the what did they used to call, charismatic Christians, they didn't have a lot of teaching, and so therefore they came out and they did have some crazy views, some of them, okay, because they didn't study, they got out on the Jesus saved me, and boom, they were out there, and people, they were getting these churches full of these thousands of people like Rick Warren, which I don't have any respect for.
Did you know that he and Joel Osteen consulted on the
Bible?
The Bible?
Yes.
Okay,
I knew that.
I didn't know that. I found that out over the weekend.
Precisely. You cannot count Christendom with these guys, okay? Just because
those are opportunists who make a living opening up a church.
Not only that, but also they're also people that the left knows is stupid, and they use it. You're looking at a perfect battle between good and evil here. This is what's going on. You have good guys and you have evil guys. And the evil guys will find the unlearned good guys and make spectacles of them. Sort of like how they did Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin did not know politics and how to deal with stuff. And they took full advantage of her and they just rented her.
What did you say, Alex?
Well, can't you say the same thing for Islamic fundamentalists?
No.
Who follow Islamic religion?
No.
That those
no.
people just...
No, because...
The same arguments that you're making. Oh, well, they just didn't study. Yeah, there's some,
no,
there's
no,
some
no,
splinter
no,
factions.
No, there's no
it.
Such thing. There's no such
oh,
thing
really?
In Islam. It's not... Yes.
It's
no,
in what?
Okay.
There's no such thing in Islam as not study. Islam is a daily study from the time
right.
that they are... 3 or 4 years old. There's no such thing as not studying.
They're not all the same. I mean, Islam is so
varied.
Different
denominations of Islam.
It's just as varied as the Christian religion. If you go to the Gambia, or Senegambian Valley, Senegal or Gambia, it's completely different than if you go to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is completely different from Iran.
But the fundamental values of that they may interpret it differently in each sect of the Islamic religion.
Same as Christianity.
But hold on, no. Christianity, we have bastardized Christianity based upon man. But true Christianity is all about service above self.
And that's exactly what Islam means. The name Islam just means submit. You're submitting to the will of Allah. So
you have to understand the foundation of both Christianity, Judaism, as well as Islam is still based on the first 5 books of the Bible until you actually start twisting the laws of Moses. But when you look at Christians, everybody's a Christian, but they got denominations, and their interpretation is totally different. But it's not founded on studying.
No, it's not founded on biblical truth.
Right. You also have people who are Islamic. And right now, the Islam really think America's crazy for embracing same-sex marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And that's across the board.
And not only that, you let them legalize that here. You let them do it, and you're going.
Well,
you're going to see.
Do it because America's going to follow the lead of Europe, and Europe is more of a secularized society, and the Europeans
are
about to do it.
But America's not Europe, and America has not found out that America's not Europe, and they're not held to the same standard. You know, it's one of those,
but
you can't do what everybody else does just because you want to.
But currently with Obama in office, the Americans who are in charge now are trying to follow the lead of Europe. And a lot of the European nations are debating as to whether they should make same-sex marriage legal as well.
Dusty, I hear you. And guess what? It's not going to make a dime's bit of difference. The one that does it, if the United States does it, you won't see very long before we are not going to have our particular status in the world anymore.
Jefferson will be bigger than status. We're going to lose a lot.
We're going to lose
more than status. I don't mind being second, but I don't like being last.
God says when you break a covenant of his, marriage is a covenant. It's a biblical A covenant. It has nothing to do with secular people. So therefore, secular people that don't believe in the Judeo-Christian belief need to leave the word marriage alone, but they don't want to because they want to normalize their behavior.
And it gives them no sense of guilt.
Right.
It allows me to go and because when you do something wrong, even as a child, you know that there's something wrong with what you're doing, and what you really want is affirmation that says what I'm doing is okay. It'll give me a warm, fuzzy, good feeling that I no longer have guilt.
Right. And the thing is this is what they're trying to accomplish, and it's not going to work.
It ain't going to work. It's going to be a warm, fuzzy for a minute, Joe.
Why is your stupid government studying and using taxpayer money to study why are lesbians overweight and why are they unhappier than everybody else?
But
what kind of study is that?
But Alex, when you really look at this, and let me say this: wackadoodles are not always true. They just wacky. The man that went there, the young man that went into the church that somebody called in. The young man that went into a church in Ashtabula last on Easter Sunday and shot his dad and said something about Allah. You got to understand, he was a part of the Nation of Islam. If anything, he wasn't a true Islamic.
No.
You following me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you also got these Christians that get actually kill abortionist doctors and have killed people who've gone to.
That's not a Christian doctor.
That's a wackadoodle.
Yeah, that's not a Christian.
That's not
or
a,
they,
no, that's
or,
not a
or
Christian.
That have, or have killed gays. They've killed gays.
That's not a Christian.
Those aren't Christians.
As a matter of fact, because Christianity is based on love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not going to shoot you. I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Even if I disagree with you. Even if you are, if I am adamantly against what you're doing, Alex, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to step back and love you through your hell.
Well, I'm just saying that it's on both sides, though. I mean, there's wiped out people on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, you're right. There are wiped out people on both ends, but they're not Christians.
Yeah, but here's the difference, though, Trey.
Well, then you can't say that those people are necessarily Islamic, because people
give me one
who are in the center of Islam that will denounce those people who are extremists the same way that you denounce the extremists who claim to be Christian.
Alex, big difference, and I'm going to show it to you right here.
Okay.
Give me one scripture that allows a Christian to go kill an abortion doctor.
There probably isn't one. I mean, there isn't, but there is one.
Wait a minute.
However, but you'll find in Romans that it does say that men and women who are homosexuals or have those kind of activities deserve death. It doesn't say that you should kill them, but it does say
I don't know where that says that in Romans.
Don't say that.
It tells you that in Romans 1 that they're going to receive judgment, and they received in themselves the judgment when they lusted after one another of the same sex.
But let me say this. It says the same thing about the fornicator, too.
Absolutely.
So it's not like you're exempt.
Right. The fornicator, adulterer, the effeminate, all of it. So you know, here's the thing. You know, it's not the same. Plus, the Quran absolutely says that the infidel, the one that has not said that they believed in Allah, is worthy of death, and you are okay to kill them. And, in fact, if you kill them, you're going to get a reward in heaven.
Who's that?
I'm going to call them up. 330-692. Hold on. We'll get back to you.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, what I'm listening to is, aside from all this biblical nonsense that you guys are trying to justify your basic prejudice against homosexuals, is meaningless in a number of ways. You don't want to allow them to have the same rights as you have.
Oh, no,
basically.
No,
no, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, you want to discriminate against them based on your religious beliefs. On your religious beliefs. You are. And the other thing that you've said, I heard earlier, was that the will of the people is not being listened to in California, okay? Which, oh, yeah, and it was true in Birmingham, too, when the will of the people didn't want blacks to integrate into all-white colleges. And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
When you violate civil rights, it's up to the federal government to say, no, 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 will of the people, you're wrong. You're violating their civil rights. If the will of the people was around, we'd still have segregation in the South. Okay. In Birmingham, the reason they're trying to equate this with civil rights issues is because in Birmingham, they didn't want the Federal Guard had to be called in to force blacks to be admitted into all white schools. And the will of the people said, keep them out. We don't want we don't want integration.
Now that's a different thing altogether.
Why is it different? It's the same thing.
Okay, you're angry. Let me tell you why.
No, I'm frustrated with the ignorance
caller,
of this biblical nonsense.
Caller, can I come to your house and go in your refrigerator and get whatever I want to out of it?
And not unless I invite you.
Oh, not unless you invite me. But if you don't invite me, I'm not able to do that, right? I can't take your last name and then go down to the bank to your bank account and go in and get it, can I? You get your money, can I?
I'm unclear of your point.
I know you're not. I know you are. Marriage is a biblical relationship between a man and a woman.
Then
it does
why
not
is
belong.
That, why is,
wait a minute, wait a minute,
what
wait a
taxes?
Minute. Let me finish.
What?
All I want to do is finish my point, and then I'll let you talk. I don't have a problem. Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's not a secular relationship. Now, because we were based on biblical principle in this country, we allowed our courthouses in those situations to, when we were much more of a Christian nation, I didn't say total Christian, but much more of a Christian nation, we allowed secular offices to administer marriage licenses. But marriage is not a common relationship. It is a blood covenant between a man and a woman. It has nothing to do with two of the same things. If two of the same things want to get
together, why do you want the government to be involved in that?
Wait a minute.
If two of the same people want to get together, they can have a civil union. And I don't have a problem with that because we live in a secular society, and that's what they would call it. But they're not going to call it marriage because that's not what marriage is. They're not going to take from the God I serve, that I represent, and bastardize the relationship by using it with two of the same
things. Because straight people have not bastardized marriage at all, because being raised in a straight family is so it's such an epitome of a wonderful relationship.
Let me say this. Hold on. Listen, this is the issue. And I've said this before, and I don't know if you heard me say it. America did not treat people who chose to have civil unions right.
Right. That's the problem.
Hold on, Philly. They ignored them when they asked for to be treated with respect. They ignored them when they asked for civil unions. They ignored them when they wanted to. They had contracts and they had wills, and the laws overturned them, even when they did the right thing. I know of people who have had people thrown out of hospitals, and their partner was in there, and because they did not agree with the partnership, they had it overturned. I've watched them take children away. I've watched them do a lot of things that I think is just an abomination, and it was just wrong. And now they are to a point where they have asked for marriage because we would not talk to them about civil unions. This is not about, you know, them not having their access and having their rights and getting and being treated with dignity and humane. This is not what this is. What they're trying to do is they're trying to normalize.
No,
something.
This is not what the Supreme Court case is hearing. This is not what the Supreme Court case is about.
Listen, they're trying normalization because what they're telling you is it is normal.
It's normal to have interracial relationships. That's what they said in the 60s, and that's what you sound like. That's what you sound like now.
You cannot tell me.
It's not normal or God condone that interracials can marry or have relationships. That's what you sound like.
Listen to what I'm saying, though, dude. Listen, at least I've got a socket and a screw. There's a difference when you don't have that.
Is that the Adam and Steve argument? Is that the Adam and Steve argument?
Listen, two women together, you cannot tell me, just because it feels good, that it produces something and that it's actually an anatomy.
What is that argument? I'm unclear. Wait. So wait, if it feels good, okay, your argument is that because it doesn't produce a child, it's unnatural.
Listen, what it is this is what
is that your argument?
Yeah.
I choose to lust after someone, have sex with them, and want to be with them for the rest of my life. But is it normal? Absolutely not. And
wait a minute.
You to teach my children that it's normal for her to choose to be bisexual so she can be a girl today and avoid the law and to lose who she chooses. It's crazy.
It's not a choice. This fallacious argument that it's a choice shows this misunderstanding from your side that it's a lifestyle choice, because I can guarantee you don't wake up every day and go, should I be straight or gay today? I just can't choose. That's not what they do. That's not what you do. So,
we understand
to say it's a choice, okay,
it's
really not. It is. You choose? Do you choose?
I choose every day.
You choose every day. You're attracted to women, and you say, I can't choose women because that's what the Bible says.
I choose every day how I'm going to govern myself. I choose every day, and so does man.
So they're challenging. So God's testing them. God's saying, oh, we're going to tempt you with other women, but not you. Okay.
Are you understanding
right?
that this is a choice? This is a lifestyle choice?
It isn't.
This is where you're going to get into problems. Because
what?
Because for some of them, because of the, you know, they got messed with as a kid if they did.
That's not what I said, Jeff. I said they got a choice.
You're missing what I'm saying. I'm trying to get through this. I'm not saying this. I'm saying you're going to get into trouble by saying it's
I ain't
going to
get into trouble. I ain't going to get into trouble.
You're going to get into trouble because some of them don't know that they can help it. And because of how strong...
Oh,
because
it's a disease. Because now it's a disease that they will pass it.
I agree with you. And I agree with that 1,000%. Just like
right.
bipolarism
That's the Christian mentality. The Christian mentality at its core is this. We are created flawed and commanded to get right. That is the Christian core basis belief.
We are created flawed and commanded to be saved.
Repent or die. Okay.
No, repent or die.
That's not what we said.
That's a lie. First of all, that's not the Christian message.
All this is moot. It's going to pass. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. It's going to pass. This is moot. And this is religion we're arguing. Okay, we're arguing religion when the politics of it don't even care about the religious of it.
I'm not religious, so you're going to suffer
the consequences of what comes out of it.
Floods? Is God going to punish us with hurricanes and floods? Is that what you're saying? Earthquakes.
Yeah.
God's going to throw earthquakes at us.
Hey,
really?
Tracy, can I just comment real quick? I think that this conversation from this caller is a classic example of why we need to go to the libertarian stance. You cannot solve this, and you can't. The government has no business issuing marriage licenses. Let people be free to make whatever associations they want, because all the government is force. And so the only thing that the government can do is either take away or destroy. That's it. The government cannot create anything. And so the only thing that you're trying to that by going to the government, the only thing that the government can do is force something that some people do not want. So the government needs to get out of marriage licensing altogether and let people enter freely into their own contracts and their own associations, whatever, and just make it – because honestly, to me, the whole thing is moot because the 14th Amendment already says that we have equal protection under the law. So in my opinion, marriage licenses have always been unconstitutional. Because when they were first written, they were to prevent whites from intermarrying with blacks and other people. So they were always unconstitutional. And so we need to go to the constitutional stances. You're not going to solve all this.
That's why this is all moot. That's why this is moot. They're going to say all the Supreme Court is hearing is whether states can deny people the right for gays to marry. They're putting on their ballots to say you could not be married if you're gay. And so that's what they're hearing the case. It's a constitutional case. It has nothing to do with this religious nonsense about marriage is a blood covenant where wait a minute, that's traditional marriage was a property transaction.
No, it was not. You're incorrect.
Women were treated like livestock in the Old Testament. Okay? They're treated like livestock. Is that what you're saying? Go back to? Forget the Old Testament altogether because we don't like that slavery was condoned.
Doc, I'm sorry to tell you, but first of all, Christianity is not a repent or die thing. It was a repent or live without God in eternity thing. It's a thing that God said, I love you. You got infected with AIDS, and I'm going to heal
you.
Can I finish? I'm going to heal your AIDS, okay? That's what that's for. He came and died for us and paid for the sin that we were born into that we couldn't do nothing about. That's what it was about.
That? Whose deal was that? I didn't choose that.
No, you didn't, but
you
were born. You know, but God made a way for you, even though
God made me chosen into sin. God made me to be born into sin so that I'd have to repent.
He didn't
make
no. He didn't
so
make
he could
you
save
too.
Me.
You got the whole thing wrong. Hold on, local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, is this
Yes.
All right. Well, I was just kind of listening here more than anything, Tracy. And as usual, these things go so far afield because people who don't understand, you know, where we're coming from as Christians, they're kind of battling against the wind. They get angry with us. They get angry with the God that they don't understand. And because they've never read nor understand his word, makes it pretty difficult for them to carry on a rational and cognizant conversation.
And you're right. I mean, it's a hard conversation on a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I understand. I don't want to deny. Whoa, Doc, you got a lot of air going on.
Pull him down.
Okay, you have to understand that the situation is that people don't understand Christians because we do have some flakes out there not explaining things a certain way. No doubt about it.
And listen, we're at the end of the day, and I want to thank everybody for calling in and being here with us. And tomorrow, Sticks and I will be here, and I'm not quite sure what we're going to be talking about, but it'll be interesting, I promise. I think he may have left. You can turn them back up.
Yeah, he left.
But you have to. Christianity, the premise of marriage. No matter why America instituted licenses. Or why America instituted the what they have, it was put in place by God to create a order for a family to be built upon, and it's father, mother, and children, and we have polluted this order to where it is just out of sync. There's no order to it, and that's what I was saying on yesterday when I was talking about women. And when I was talking about men and relationships, right now we have feminized this country so much, and we have gone so far out of order completely, where there's no respect for children, for parents, for fathers, for mothers, or for the sanctity of a union when it comes to the institution of marriage. That's why you see so many people talking about marriage. You got people who should be getting married, not getting married, and you got people who should not be trying to get married. We talk about who's adopting children. We've got so many children out there that need families that we will not adopt, that they should not be in the adoption process, but somehow we have taken this beautiful gift that God has given us, and we have polluted it so much that it's only for recreation, and when a child is produced, either we kill it or give it away. We got to understand how out of order we are. And the church has laid back and stayed silent about it and has had their own fun, and they have made it into an occupation instead of a service.
Well, there's no doubt. There we go, too. And no doubt about it. And we'll see how this turns out. You and Sticks handle this tomorrow because you know
we're not going to do it tomorrow.
You know they're going to call you.
No, we're not going to do it tomorrow. Hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you guys. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
And wait a minute.
Jeez, old man, John.
I'm not Tracy. See you, Alex. My name is not Tracy, so now.
I don't know why.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full government.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News.